Well, top of the morning to you. Isn't this St. Patty's Day? Yeah, top of the morning to you. Irish blood. I actually have Irish, Scottish, and German. So I'm all over that area. How many's been to Ireland? Anybody been into Ireland? If you've never been, you need to go. It's absolutely gorgeous. I did not because I'm afraid of heights, but my wife did, and I have pictures. She did the upside down and kissed the stone of Bellarnia. And I sat there because the stone is in this hollowed out castle, and there's no middle. You're on the third floor. And there's no flooring on that third floor. It's just you walking up against the walls where there's a little bit of flooring. And you will see in the picture, I'm over here doing this while she's laid down and the guy's holding her while she kisses the stone of Bellarnia. And I was like, you are crazy. And now I have empirical evidence to prove it. Which, by the way, did you know that's where we get the term baloney from? The stone of Bellarnia.
Is it really?
And my hand up in the air. When you say someone is full of baloney, which means they speak mistruths, right? You're just full of baloney. In other words, you're talking outside of your... Right. That comes from Bellarnia because... The fable or the theory or the thing is if you kiss the stone, you're given the gift of gab and being able to say whatever and persuade whatever. So it's just a little...
Should I say this or not? Does she really need the gift of gab?
I have the right to remain silent. I have the right to remain silent. Because anything I say is recorded and will be held against me in a court somewhere at 557 Bennington Farm. So anyway, we've been talking about triumph over our triggers. Last week we got into our little thing here and we talked about Jesus addresses his beliefs first, which is sort of his theology. And then we got into... Today we're going to talk about behavior, because if you believe right, you behave right. If you behave right, what you're experiencing is right. But the thing is, all of this is connected, because we even talked about how sometimes your belief system isn't caught up. Sometimes you're behaving poorly, and so you're living in this experience right now, right? And sometimes if you can just change to what you're experiencing and maybe behave a different way, even though you don't feel it. If you just behave a different way, even though you don't feel it, even though you don't believe it, you behave a different way, all of a sudden your experiences change, which will then reinforce your belief. But somewhere on this circle, something has got to give. And by the way, congratulations to the Wolfpack. That's hard for a Tar Heel to say, but I'll go ahead and give you... Congratulations to the Wolfpack. I even posted last night, somewhere up in heaven, Jimmy Valvano's running around looking for someone to hug. And my admonishment to my heels early on was, someone better take those glass slippers off, or the Cinderella's going to start believing in herself and beat us. And that's what happened. And I don't know what y'all's center, that guy's name is, the big guy. He is a bus. How do you move that guy? I mean, that's a linebacker in the middle of the paint there. So that was unfair. But anyway, I had to digress there just a minute. There was a ball game last night for those not keeping up. But anyway, we got into this belief system. Remember, the passage was, as they passed, and this is in John 9, verse 1, as he passed by, they saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples said, Rabbi, who sinned? Whose fault is this? Who are we going to blame here? And he said that, was it his parents or himself? And Jesus said, no, it's not that man sinned, his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed. And so Jesus is addressing the attitude there. How many's ever heard the term, and I was just listening to someone on the way here, that they're a psychologist and their main business is working with, believe it or not, attorneys. And believe it or not, working with attorneys that work with the criminal court system. And he made an interesting statement. He said, it is the law that you're innocent until proven guilty. That's the law, right? But as a matter of psychological fact, when it comes to jury selection, it's not, even though that's the law, in practice, you got a jury, 12 jurors there, and someone's going to be blamed. And unless that defense attorney can come up with a better narrative, that guy's guilty. So, I mean, it's just because you've disrupted my day. I'm not at work. I come down here. I'm being sequestered for so many weeks, maybe. And so someone is going to have to pay. But that's human nature, isn't it? Isn't it human nature? Someone's got to be blamed. Someone's got to take the fall for this. And as we get into to talking about triggers ourselves, you know, there's a courtroom going on in your mind right now about certain scenarios and certain situations and pasts that we've had. And as we get into this study today, maybe we need to reevaluate the evidence. And I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're right. I'm just saying being open to saying, Lord, it goes back to that teaching we did several months ago. Remember that teaching we did at Search Me, O God? Reveal unto me. You know, being bold enough to let God reveal more information, more revelation about a certain situation, so that maybe the narrative we have, even if it's true, what we've extrapolated from it and what meaning we've pulled from it, God might be able to redeem, and now it's not a negative thing when we're triggered by it, but it's actually a positive thing. It's not something that's pain, but it's something to profit.
So,
absolutely.
What's right?
It's human nature. And that's why, you know, the Bible over 300 and I forget what theologian said at one time, but that they did an actual count. But it's more days than we have in a year. The Bible through Genesis, through Revelations says, fear not. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. You know, so there's an old adage, you know, there's one fear not for every day that we live. Why is that so important? Because fear is the seedbed of every negative, toxic emotion that we have, whether it be anger, whether it be frustration, whether it be bitterness, whether it be anything. All of that toxicity is grown in the seedbed, in a bed of just fear. And so one guy told me one time, we were talking about thoughts and everything, and, you know, we was talking about how, you know, can a person control their thoughts? Well, if a person's healthy, and I'm talking about a healthy mind, one of the techniques that we teach people in thoughts is this. What is a thought? When we get down to it, what is a thought that's in our mind right now? What is a thought?
It's a piece of your subconscious.
It's a subconscious, right? But I'm talking about cognitive, not subconscious, but just the that you're in. Now, I get where you're going there with the subconscious, and that's how we have to feed it, meditate on the word day and night. But when we're cognitive about what's going on, Jeff, what's a thought? A thought is nothing more than questions we entertain.
What?
Questions we entertain. Why did Lynn look at me that way?
I don't know.
That's a thought.
Somebody's going to get an allergy pill, and that kind of got my head for a minute.
Yeah. Why does Lynn have allergies? I wonder what Lynn's taking for allergies. I wonder what side effects it has on Lynn when she takes it. I wonder if some of those side effects are manifesting right now. These are all thoughts. These are all thoughts. Thank you for letting me be.
Because
inquiring minds want to know. He's back at the courtroom. I ain't letting this go.
God instructs the jury.
Yeah, yeah.
And people, I think, who was instructing the people today? Who was basing
Pharisees. Yeah, yeah.
The Pharisees, the Sanhedrin. I think the people got that through the religiosity of the
Well, sure. It shapes attitudes.
So we need, if we're ever called to be a jurist, we should think outside the box and be independent, not just listen to what the judge says. Because he can have a bias, and I find that many times the jury just goes along with whatever the judge
wants. Well, sure. But it goes to the fact that we're all impressionable. People are impressionable, and you have to be. But that requires intentionality. You know, if you're just going and you're in the moment, you know, a good, you know, I shouldn't say that, but most people will just go along with what they're instructed to do, because what do you want to do? You're wanting to serve and to be. But you have to be intentional. That goes to the point here that we have to be intentional with the questions we entertain ourselves. What you said a minute ago, rather than what's wrong, what's right. You know, there's an old question that I loved that Vody Balcom one time debunked when he was debating this guy about, is there a God? And if there is a God, is he omnibenevolent? Can he be all-powerful and all-good at the same time? Because let's exhibit A here. Look at all the trash that's in the world. Look at all the bad stuff going on in the world. How can there be a God that's all-powerful and, you say, all-good at the same time? And I love he sort of flipped the switch on him, because here again, what we think is based on the questions we entertain. And he just reposed the question. He says, the question isn't, why does bad things happen to good people? The question is, why does anything good ever happen to any of us? Because if he's an all-powerful, all-consuming, all-holy God that cannot stand sin, be around sin, or look at sin because of the nature of who he is, then how can an entity like that know what he knows about me and allow me to draw my next breath of air? See, when we frame it that way, all of a sudden, it's not why does bad things happen to good people, which is the question. The question is, why does anything ever good happen to anyone? And then it puts it in the proper framework, because he is a good God. He is a loving God. He is a God that cares for us. He is a God that says, not only does he know me, but he knows, he literally numbers the hair on my head, which I'm making it easier and easier for him to do. But that's the kind of God we serve. So it goes to the nature of God. So last week, beliefs, he addressed the beliefs. This week, behave, because we're just going to go in the order in which he laid it out for us. These are all interconnected, and we are in John 9. And last week we said, as he passed by, that he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him the question, who sinned, the man, his parents, or him? And then Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God. Now, we're down in verse 4. And verse 4 says this, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. So Jesus is saying, we got a time-sensitive situation here, folks. We need to get to work, right? And so we must work the works of him who sent me. Okay, first thing is first, we. Let's break it down three ways from Sunday, right? We. Look at the word we. What does that tell you? That means, number one, we means that we have to cooperate with him. When we're talking about, and I might misspell here, guys, because I'm not behind a keyboard and I don't have spell check, so that means it will be misspelled. So Ed, Lee, one of you guys that are... Okay, good. Y'all help me out. Get a little closer, brother. I ain't got but so much space on this board. So, number one, it means that we're going to have to cooperate with him. We must work the works of him who sent me. So, we means we have to cooperate. Must work. What does that mean? That means there's going to be stuff to do that we're going to have to commit to. How do you spell commit, someone? C-O? Thank you. All right. There's a commitment that we're going to have to commit to. Number three, we must work the works of he who sent me. So, there's a must work. The works, what does that mean? The works. The, not a work, not works. There's a word the in front of it. So what does that tell you when we're talking about working? and agreeing with God and talking about getting triumph over our triggers. What does that mean? That means that there is a specific calling that we're being called to focus on. Okay? I mean, you can do a lot of great things. You can spend a lot of great energy on a lot of great things, and it won't do anything to help you when we're talking about getting triumph over a specific trigger. So there is an area that we're being called to work on. I mean, I can do 100 different things for God and say it all good and never address an area that he is calling. And then number four, we must work the works. There's a specific calling of him who sent me. What does that mean? There's an actual course that he is prescribed. It's a charted course that he has prescribed. Man makes plans, but what happens? God charts the course. What is that? So we're going to get into this right here. This right here, we're talking about in dealing with, Lord, I'm being triggered by this situation, this circumstance, this idea, whatever, you know, fill in the blank of what it is. And I'm saying, you have promised that I have triumph over everything that I walk to in life. Then he has laid out in that passage right there a way to start behaving. Last week he talked about my beliefs. This week he's going to start talking about my behavior. First thing there, in cooperate there, what does it say? He said, we must work the works of him who sent me. So what does it mean to cooperate? What does it mean to cooperate? I'm going to get over here so I can write. Surrender. Surrender what? We must have the mind of Christ. We must surrender to him. We must think like he thinks. We got to get on the same page. And that's more difficult than it sounds. It's easy to say. It's hard to do. Why? Because it means I have to let go of Terry Wilson's ego. I have to let go of Terry Wilson's identity. I can't even identify as myself anymore. Because when I say to have the mind of Christ, what am I saying? What am I saying when I say I'm going to have the mind of Christ on something? Think like he thinks. Get out of the carnal, fleshly. It makes sense to humanity, you know, in my human nature. So get out of the limitations of humanity. So I've got to give place to a supernatural judgment of self.
Don't think like you.
Don't think like me. That's the best advice I've ever gotten. Stop thinking like you think. I would have been a whole lot better off if I had just taken advice. Phyllis.
Terry, I thought about this years ago. I heard a man say this. When we think about beliefs and we think about behavior, we're like a little boy that's looking at a parade through a knothole in the fence.
Yeah.
We see what's directly in front of us.
Yeah.
And we act accordingly.
Act accordingly.
But God is up on the post.
Yes.
And the end.
Exactly right.
So when you said that about commitment, it's faith.
It is faith.
It's believing when you can't see.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I like it. I like it. It also means, how many agrees with God on something? Don't say it out loud. There's a certain situation where God says this, and you go and say, well, you God, you Lord, so I'm going to agree with you, but your attitude's still over here. I mean, has that ever happened to anybody?
Yep.
Happened to me just this morning. It also means adopting his attitude toward things, doesn't it? It's not just, I intellectually understand the Word of God says this. And I intellectually understand that I not only made him Savior, but I made him Lord. But I'm still going to be sarcastic and joke about that situation because it irritates me. Right? Because that's the way I cope with it. Right? That's Terry Wilson. I don't know how you do it, but Terry Wilson, you know, we're just going to. But it also means adopt his attitude. When you have the mind of someone else, let's take it out of spiritual context because sometimes that cloudies our critical thinking. Think about your spouse for just a second, or a significant other one, a loved one. And think about the things that they like that you just scratch your head and say, why do you like that? All right? Think about that. Now think about how can you put yourself in their shoes and adopt their mentality toward that. Now, does that not open it up? That's like asking me to watch Hallmark with my wife during Christmas and say, I love this. All these stories are so different. I can't wait to see what happens next. And I've never seen this actor before. And be surprised like it's the first time you've seen it. All right?
Be careful, Terry.
Fortunately, they put this on the internet, and they hide it well enough. I know she won't find that one. I spoke on that.
And then they had ones that they spoke, you know, good things. You're beautiful. Yeah. You fulfill me. You just flow. And I think about that's us. Like, with our thinking.
We're 78% water.
Exactly. So the result was the water, after it was spoken negative to, they froze it.
Yeah.
And what they spoke negative to, it created like just blobs of just ugly nothingness. And the ones that they spoke beautiful to, like we should speak what God says over ourselves and our thinking.
Yeah.
Form these beautiful snowflake like designs. So it really, I mean, it's a physical thing within our body.
Absolutely.
We have the right thinking.
Absolutely. As a man thinks. So when we're talking about our triggers and we're talking about the things, what we're literally saying is there's a possibility that the way God thinks about this could be completely different than the way you think about this. Now, Jeff brought up something that I didn't get to last week because we weren't in the narrative yet, but we're headed there. And he did bring up a great point. Remember last week I said when we're under stress, that our the 8 dichotomies that makes up who we are, our persona, our personalities, they invert. Remember when I said that and we went down that little list there, how it changes us? What that's talking about is when you're under the grip of stress, you didn't ask for it, it came upon you. But if I stop short there, it leaves it begs the question, is stress positive or negative? Is stress good for you or bad for you? Exactly. It can be both. It can be both. Here's the difference. One's voluntary and one's involuntary. One came upon you. One didn't. And even when it comes upon you, you can start taking control of the situation. The reason why, you know, when Jesus came up to him and spat on the ground, what were we saying? He was triggering a negative emotion, right? That's called exposure therapy. The very thing that was causing stress in that man's life. Now, a person would say, well, if Jesus is loving and caring and trying to, he's the embodiment of God on earth, and one of his attributes, the Holy Spirit, is called what? The Comforter. Well, how in the world would he make this person uncomfortable? Because his highest priority, his highest imperative is not to bring comfort, but to bring healing. And sometimes the path to healing goes through the valley of discomfort, right? And so what he's showing us there in that narrative there is sometimes we need to embrace the very things that makes us, 1 hour a day, 6 days a week, I purposely make myself uncomfortable. I do, because I've decided I would rather choose the time and the place and the energy to make myself uncomfortable that 1 hour a day than years later, by my inactivity, it coming up and making me uncomfortable. See, in this narrative, I control the discomfort. In the other narrative, I do. I'm picking the weight. I'm picking the reps. I'm picking what I'm doing. Otherwise, laying on a couch potato, and all of a sudden, years later, because of this trying to avoid discomfort, trying to be comfortable, what happens? Atrophy has set in and made me very uncomfortable. Well, that dynamic that happens in the physical world, happens in the spiritual world, happens in the psychological world, happens in that same dynamic. So let's get into this because I'm running out of time. Cooperate means to have the mind of him. Now, B, this gets into what Ms. Phyllis was saying just a minute ago. Meditate means if I'm going to cooperate with him, I'm going to meditate on his word day and night as Joshua instructs us. Now, here's the thing I want to lean into. What does it mean to meditate?
Ponder.
Think on. What else? What else?
Be still.
Be still. Okay. One of the utilities of meditating on his word is this. Putting yourself in a third party narrative. Rather than, Lord, I feel this. Your word says this. I'm asking you right now to come into this situation. Touch me, Lord. Make me feel different. Make this situation different or teach me something in this situation. But Lord, have your way in this situation right now. In that prayer right now, what's happening? I'm in the story. I'm one of the players. I'm one of the actors, and I'm in that character right now. When I meditate on his word, I am removing myself and I am looking down and says, Lord, here's your son, Terry. Look what he has done in this situation. Look how he feels. Your word says this. And all of a sudden, I have detached myself from being a character, an actor, and I'm sitting with him in the boardroom saying, what do we need to do about Terry here, Lord? You know, he feels this way. He was raised this way. He has these biases. He has these situations in his life. He has this that touches it. But if you'll notice, because I've sort of detached I'm meditating on his word, I'm watching the thoughts as it is a car is going down the road, and I'm sitting on the side with the Lord, examining these thoughts and how they correspond with his word, rather than being in the car and being one of the people going down. See, I'm not in my feelings anymore. I'm not in my ego anymore, but I'm outside of it going, you know, hey, Lord, have you ever noticed he's got an issue right here? Yeah, and I've been trying to talk to him. Can you get to him? I sort of know the guy. I'll get in there. You know, but all of a sudden, because I've put myself in that scenario, I'm more open. I'm more open to hear what God's word is truly saying rather than me being in the situation and trying to interpret what he's saying from my own biases, my own pain, because I'm in it right now. I feel it right now. Does that make sense? It's a whole nother way of positioning yourself.
This is real simple because I like to keep it simple, but for me, that's been, as I've had the time with less distractions than I've ever had in my life, to meditate and see that crimson cord of redemption throughout
yes.
the world from Genesis to Revelation. So I've had to stop just cutting you off because I don't like you, or you've got nothing. So I've had to stop that, yeah, well, whatever, and really engage into that. I mean, mm-hmm. I've had to change. He's changed me. He is changing me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just soon cut you off and look at you. In the past, that's changed, but there's still a little bit of it there, and it's not good.
Right.
But he's changing us. He's changing us. But it's that redemptive. The works of him who sent me are always redemptive. And
right. Right.
And,
well, it's a reflective activity rather than an intentional activity.
Yes. Yeah.
See, now you're being more intentional because you know that about yourself. And it doesn't mean you won't have that temptation to happen. But now you can call it out. Oh, that's
yes.
That's my old nature acting up. Yep. Let's get into, see here. The other thing, if I'm going to cooperate with him, I'm going to move immediately, obey immediately when he says to do something. If I'm cooperating with him, even when, like what Phyllis says, sometimes we're looking through a peephole, we only see this. And so it's an act of faith that he's saying, hey, Terry, go over here and tell so-and-so such and such. And I'm like, why? There's a book, and it's not a Christian book. It has nothing to do with spirituality at all. It's just a self-help book. But there's one thing, and her name is Mel Robbins. She's from the Northeast. She speaks in a way that is more natural to the world. So if you have sensitive ears, don't ever listen or read her, okay? Caveat on that. But she has one, she has a book called The 5-Second Rule. Anybody ever heard that, The 5-Second Rule? You know, the book? Similar but different. Yeah, similar but different. Thank you, Lee. But her whole thing is this. She struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled for years for a simple problem. And this just goes by the way to show you that if you can solve even the most minute problem, you've created a product and you brought value. But nevertheless, I digress. Simple problem. Couldn't get up on time. Now, that sounds simple to me. Well, get up. But she never could. And it literally hurt her professional career. Because guess what? If you can't show up on time, yeah, it's going to hurt you in your business, in your job, in your employment, right? And she, one day, but the bottom line is this. She learned, as soon as that alarm clock went off at the time, now she don't even use alarm clock, that if she would get up, no matter how she felt, no matter what, she'd get up within 5 seconds of that alarm going off, she didn't have a problem. But if she laid there more than 5 seconds, what happened is the brain kicked in and started rationalizing why you can wait a little bit longer, why you can wait a little bit longer. So her whole, she wrote 180 pages of basically saying this. When you got to do something, if you'll do it immediately, you'll do it. But the moment you start delaying, waiting, you're giving your old self, listen, when God tells you to do something, do it. If you want to cooperate with God, when God tells you to do, and you know, I'm not talking about, I think, I hear, I don't. I'm talking about when you know it's God, okay? When you know that, I'm not talking about these big decisions that you need to go before count, and, you know, there's wisdom in multitude count. I'm not talking about going half-cocked on crazy stuff. I'm talking about, when you think you need to go up to tell someone you love them or ask for forgiveness or anything that you don't have to go ask for counsel on that, right? When you know it's God and God's telling you to do something, if you'll do it immediately, watch what happens. Watch what happens. I mean, the world will change and you will change. And so when God is telling you in the context of dealing with... Y'all hear that? Okay. When dealing with trigger, and when God's saying, hey, this, don't give yourself time to start rationalizing, arguing, or trying to debate... But God, they. But God, them. But God, this. But God, they didn't do. Or God, no. When you hear that Holy Spirit tell you, and it's in His Word, it's validated, do it and see what happens. It's easier to walk by faith if you walk fast. It's easier to walk by faith when you hear the first snap of that snare drum and you hear James Brown say, "Get up." But if you have to wait halfway through the song, you've already acclimated. Get up, get on up, get up. You done rested in the groove. It's hard to get up and move. I didn't mean to rhyme, but it's about that time. All right. Second thing, and this is a big one, commit. We need to cooperate. That means we have to cooperate. Must work. What's that? Oh, Lord. He done using bad language in church. I thought the Lord was going to do this. He is, but He uses us. Must work, which means there's a commitment there. We must work. What does that mean? First and foremost, it's a priority. It's not a commitment if it doesn't have a priority attached to it. Isn't that right? If there's no priority, if it's not in the hierarchy of your to-do list, if it's not in the hierarchy of these are the things I'm going to accomplish, what happens? It's just a great idea, you know. Lord, I want this done. Lord, I know you've called me to healing, but, you know, we'll get around to it when we get around to it. Will it ever happen? Will it ever happen? Lord, I get triggered when this happens, and I know something needs to happen, but, you know, it's St. Patty's Day, and we need to talk about wearing green that day. It's not a problem. Number two, when we commit, big word. We need to expect and be okay with pain. This is usually, if we make it a priority, as soon as we feel this, what happens? We quit. We want to give up. Wait a minute. The whole reason I'm going through this process is because I don't like the pain of what it's causing me to be triggered. And now I'm going through this process that the Lord's called me to, and I'm feeling what? What in the world is going on? But the fact of the matter is the pain of being triggered, that blind man, and then being told to get up, and all this stuff, it's not easy. But if we will set our expectations correctly, at least we know what we're running into, right? Commit to a process. What does that mean? I'm not committing to a goal, I'm committing to a process. Sometimes God has healed me absolutely instantly. It's just been absolutely miraculous. It's been a testimony. There's some things I could tell you about that you wouldn't believe, you know, in mixed company, that God is just absolutely just like that. There's other things that I'm 48 years old and I'm on the back nine. It has been a process. It's been a process. And through his sovereignty, he gets to choose which ones last. I don't think I'm waiting on him, though. I get the sneaking suspicion he's waiting on me. Anyway. Call. You know, there's an area. There's an area that he's called us to work on. And you say, well, what are you talking about, Terry? I know someone that was going to counseling one time, and the issue was this. The issue was anger issues. The issues was this right here. And through that conversation, the call to start working on was way back here with these people. And the natural inclination was, I came in here for this, and you're asking me to go over here and talk to these people about that. The works. We must work the works. There's areas that he's calling us to right now to work on that we don't want to touch. And we don't even understand what one has to do with the other. But I'm telling you, if you allow God to work in that area that he's calling you to, that area, I put call. Sorry, guys. I'm being redundant. In other words, I'm saying the same thing a different way over and over again. I'm using different words to... Now I'm being sarcastic, which means saying part truth. But we have to be okay accepting. We need to be accepting. What does that mean? In our process, we got to be accepting to. And here's the other thing, more importantly, because right here, it's all for naught if we're not willing to be what? Open, accepting to what? New ideas. New ways of looking at things. New concepts. New, deeper revelations. Do what, babe? I'm sorry. Did you say go wolf pack? I'll come. Okay. Touche. Which means... Agree. This process right here might take a day. It might take a year. It might take 10 years. How many knows that God will call you to an area to work on because you got a trigger you're dealing with, and you're eating triumph for your trigger. So you're working in that area. You've been presented with new ideas, new ways of looking at things, new perspectives, and you're struggling to accept it. You finally accept it. I still don't agree. I emotionally don't. How many has ever been intellectually somewhere and emotionally somewhere else? Right? It goes back to, it's not just an intellectual idea and process to take on the mind of Christ. But I'm literally, Lord, give me your heart. I just don't want to have the logic, the rationale that you use, because I've understood your word and I know how to make a theological argument on a particular subject. But I want your attitude behind that. I want your heart behind that. I want the way you feel and manifest yourself in the world. I want to embody that. And that is not an easy task. That's why it is a cooperation, because left to ourselves, we can't do it. This is not something that we can do by ourselves. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. This is a work of God working through us and in us. But that's why it's a cooperation. Moving right along because of time. He has given us a course, which means, have you ever, God's asked you, once you go through this process, you're cooperating with him, you're committing to the process and everything, you're working in the area, then what happens is, for those who can't see over there, it says method. He gives you a method that's very awkward to you. Well, Lord, I'm left-handed and you're asking me to do this with my right hand. Lord, I am an introvert and you're asking me to get out in front of people and do this, this, and this, and this. Lord, I'm this. My nature is this. It's comfortable for me to do this. And what you're calling me to do is so out of my wheelhouse of natural. Exactly. Because there's an old passage that reveals the key there, and it says this: where we're weak, he is. So he's always using methodologies that's pulling on our weakness. In our own ability, we can't do it. Because it's just our weakness. You're asking me to do something I'm very weak in. Yeah. I am. Glad you noticed. So the course that he's going to chart, the method is going to be in our weeks. He's going to use, this is a big one, means sometimes outside of ourselves and him. Not outside of him, but here's what it means. I was, back when I was serving at West Memorial years and years ago, the gentleman, he was inflicted, he was suffering, he was being tortured by mental illness. He had bipolarism, clinical bipolar. And it was hard for him. It was very, I cried with that guy because I could see him manic one day and just depressed the next day. He was on a roller coaster. And I really empathized with him. And at one point in his, and you'll see this with a lot of folks in different areas. I just remember this one. He decided he was going off of his meds. And the argument was this: if God wants to heal me, God will do what? What that was in his mind was a spiritual rationale to get away from the means. And I told him, I says, the means might not be perfect. The means might be right. Science might not have it right. They might need to adjust this. You need to consult your doctor. But don't spiritualize your ailment and healing that God won't use doctors, means, and medicine. Because now you're just spiritualizing a status quo. And that's what was happening. So when God starts using means and you don't, and you're fighting with it, you know, don't spiritualize things and say, well, God doesn't do that. If God wanted to do it, God spat on the ground, used mud, and put it in that guy's eye. Now, he could have just said the word. He could have just said the word, but he didn't. He didn't. He used things, means. He used a crazy methodology. Why? Just to illustrate to you and I that he don't need it, but that's what he uses. And because it stretches, Phyllis, our faith. It stretches our faith, don't it? And finally, measure. He gets to decide the measure. He gets to decide. It has to be based on, this is how much you need of this, Terry. This process, this course, this methodology, and these means, I dose out the measure. I give the measure. And guess what? He always gives what? More than enough. He's not, and so sometimes when we're walking through something, a temptation might be, well, a little dab will do you. That's all I need. And he's like, no, no, no. I know you ordered a pint, but I'm giving you a keg because you're going to get what I got for you, my grace, my provision, all that, okay? So that's that. It is 10:18. They're asking me to leave, so I'm going to honor that. I know when I'm not welcomed. You don't have to ask me 12 times. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us tangible, actionable ways that we can find and see and experience and explore your grace that you have for us, God. And it's all different. Lord, we can't homogenize you. We can't strategize you, but we can discern your ways so that we can employ them in our day-to-day lives to see the very victory you've called us to. We love you. We thank you. We ask you to have your way this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Blessings, guys.